You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Winky Wednesday edition. My guest, as always on Wednesdays, Nick Winkler, will be joining me momentarily. We'll talk about the latest from Kyle Shanahan and the future of Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers. This season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. If we reference some questions, most likely it came from there. You can also email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Feel free to hit me whenever you want about whatever you want, or just say hi. Let's say hi right now to today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Wink, what's happening, my man? Did you hear the press conference today, or the conference call today with Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah. I actually read the transcripts on it. And Okay. Yeah, he was very careful with his wording, which, you know, we'll get to. You're going to play some of that audio, right?
Yeah, I've got the audio right here. Yeah. Let's just roll this and start with this, because it's such a big, topic of conversation amongst the 49ers community right now. And maybe it will sound different than it looks in print.
Okay.
Because I haven't heard it yet either, but I have it queued up. The question was from a Chronicle beat writer, Eric Branch, asking about the future of Jimmy Garoppolo, and that there's been some speculation that they could move on from him as their quarterback. And I read the transcript and I didn't think anything of it, but some folks seem to think there's more there between the lines. So let's hear what it sounds coming out of Kyle Shanahan's mouth.
I mean, I expect Jimmy to be our starter next year. I mean, I expect him to come and play with us this year. We have six games left. We are not out of the playoffs yet. You know, I've been on a team that was 3-6 going into a bye week that ended up winning their division. I think we have guys on this team capable of finishing this the right way. We got to do one game at a time, and I hope Jimmy can come back and be a part of that. But to think that we've made any decisions on anybody going into the future isn't the case. Jimmy's won a lot of games for us this year. It's a lot harder to win games when he's not here. And just hoping we can get him back.
So I listened to that, and I just hear some normal coach speak, but a lot of people thought that there was more to it there and thought, you know what, that's Kyle saying Jimmy might be as good as gone. Is that the takeaway you got from that quote?
Well, if you really listen, he said next year. He didn't say next season, and week 17 is on January 3rd. So to me, I feel like he didn't mention next season at all. Everything he talked about was this season. You know, he didn't say anything about 2021 season. He was very clear in what he said. So, yeah, I expect Jimmy G to come back next season or next year, and play week 17. Sure, right?
Wow, okay. I didn't catch
when I
that.
Read that's, it, gonna... that's what I read. I was like, oh, I wonder when week 17 is. Boom, January 3rd.
January 3rd, that's right. I don't think that's what Kyle Shanahan meant, but I like that angle there. That's a really good one. And it's funny because he says, I expect him to be back next year. Then at the end of the quote, he says, we haven't made any decisions about next year. So,
well, he's expecting it because he's under contract. So that part I totally understand. Like you said, it's some coach speak. It's him saying like, well, no, he's our guy. He's under contract, blah, blah, blah. But then when the offseason comes around, who knows what's going
to
happen?
They have to be real, and they have to have those meetings and talk about everything. And right now, Kyle Shanahan is knee deep. I mean, he doesn't even have time to worry about the 2021 roster like we do, right? Like, we have all kinds of time to dream and look and what could it be. And he's trying to get his team ready to play every week, and he's at practice all day and watching film of his team and trying to win games. So, you know, this isn't time for him. He's not. Adam Peters is the one that's scouting Zach Wilson at BYU versus Boise State. It's not Kyle Shanahan out on the road scouting quarterbacks, right? So they're going to have those meetings and get all together and figure out what's going on with Jimmy Garoppolo. But as far as what Kyle Shanahan said today, I wouldn't have expected him to say anything different. And I didn't really read anything between the lines there with what Jimmy G said. Said about Jimmy G.
Yeah, I was having a little fun with it there. But, you know, it's funny because anybody who watched the Monday Night Football game last night, or maybe it was the Sunday night game, I don't really remember, but when they showed the playoff hunt, you know, and then on the right, it says in the hunt.
In the hunt.
Are the 49ers right there at 4-6, you know, and you're like, wow, that's right. There's that extra wild card game. And, yeah, they get this bye, and then, you know, if they come back healthy, sure, why not run off a couple of wins? My only concern is who's the quarterback going to be? Mullins looks so bad again. Then Beathard comes in and he looks so bad. Like, you know me, I'm always optimistic. I'm always blah, blah, blah. But now it's like, oh God, what's happening at the quarterback position?
Nobody at quarterback has proven to be somebody that you ever want to take a snap, right? And this is what's crazy. The C.J. Beathard thing blows my mind. I think that was peak 2020 right there, where he brought C.J. Beathard in for one play.
For the big arm.
The thing that he's supposed to be able to do there better than Mullins. Right. And it's telling me that they can't even call a play that they might want to call because they don't believe Mullins can make the throw. So if that's the case, he can't be your quarterback. We all know C.J. Beathard's not very good, and he held the ball too long, as he always does, didn't get rid of it early enough or didn't put enough on it or just came out cold. I mean, would Mullins really have made a worse throw than that on that play? And so he just gave me more questions about the whole thing, and it's like, you know, let's go Wildcat. Put Richie James back there at quarterback. Let's, Josh Johnson's on the practice squad. A lot of people think that he might be the best quarterback the 49ers have the rest of the roster, but I don't know if the 49ers can win enough games just to stay afloat for when Jimmy G does come back.
Yeah, you know, Josh Johnson, I mean, what is he really? Like, I don't know why you go out and sign a guy like that and bring him on the practice squad. Like, do you really think that he can come in and run this offense? I mean, they obviously do, or they wouldn't have signed him, right? But, I mean, you mentioned Richie James, too. I know he's your boy, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about his play in this game, late in the game, especially when he was underthrown and how upset he was and how he was kind of like throwing a little tantrum out there. And then the next time he touched the ball, he was muffing a punt.
Yeah, he muffed a punt. Like, it got in his head, probably, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, you gotta let that stuff go, buddy.
Yeah, you do. You have to let it go. And it was like three muff punts too. So I think I think if you're a punt returner and the punt returner on the other team muffs a punt, I think that tightens you up a little bit, right? And I think it's the same with kickers. It's such a mental part of the game. And we saw one again on Monday Night Football with the punt returner is one of the best in the league at catching the ball, Harris for the Bears, and muffs one. I mean, that's catching a punt's hard. Like, if I don't know.
Gets how up many, there in the lights, and who knows?
I get a lot of listeners every episode to this show. Let's say this episode will have around 8,000 listeners, right? So if 8,000 of us, including me and you, went out and tried to field a punt, how many of those punts, you get one shot, how many of those do you think would be caught out of 8,000?
30%.
Oh, less. 30. Yeah, 30 total. You think so? 30 out of 8,000.
No.
I mean, an NFL punt swirling winds way up there in the air. Like, well, if you kicked one to me across the street, I would catch it.
In New Orleans?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. Anywhere. An NFL punt, like, I don't know if anybody's seen a football fall that far.
Maybe it's hard to see. Maybe the backdrop of the Superdome looks weird. Or they play in the Superdome? Yeah.
No, you know what? I take it back. So you don't just catch a punt. First, I have to underthrow you by 10 yards. Then I'm going to kick the ball.
Okay. Then I'm going to go
60 yards in the air.
No one makes that point. Are there large human beings running at me full speed?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of it as well. Yeah, I forgot about that. Guys who are running.
Might make it tough.
Yeah, a guy who runs 4.4 flat is bearing down on you. I forgot about that.
Right, and I'm just standing there waiting for him to go through me.
No excuses for...
Yeah.
C.J. Beathard, bad throw. Kyle Shanahan, what are you doing? I've never seen that. I've never seen a quarterback come in for one play to make a throw like that. I've seen it for you bring in an athletic quarterback to run the ball. We've seen that a lot more recently. I've never seen a quarterback come in one play to make one specific throw like that.
I feel I've seen it, but like for a Hail Mary. You're like, oh, this guy can chuck it 60 yards, so he's going to get in there and chuck it to the end zone, maybe. You know, one last try. I feel like I saw that a couple years ago. I don't remember what team did it, but. I'm sure a listener out there does. Let me know.
And you can't excuse Richie James for muffing the punt. I mean, he's a huge play. No. You know, given the Saints another possession,
too many
a chance to score.
You know?
A ton of mistakes. Yeah, the interceptions for Mullins, can't excuse those either. Just way too many mistakes. And the 49ers had the perfect path to win the game. That's what was like, oh, man, are the Niners going to pull this off? Really? And then you even hurt the opposing team's quarterback and knock him out of the game. You have their backup in, and you still get boat raced in the last three quarters of the game. So, yeah, it's the 49ers aren't built in a way that they can overcome mistakes, and they essentially have to be perfect just to win a few games before Jimmy Garoppolo does come back. And then what Jimmy are we going to see? Are we going to see good Jimmy?
Yeah.
Can they make a run at that point? And will it be too late? I mean, they're two games behind everybody in the West, and they're three games behind the last wild card spot, which is either the Buccaneers or the Saints. So they already lost to the Saints as one of the teams they would have to beat to get in if all four NFC West teams were to get in and the Bucs won the South.
Right. Oh, wow. Yeah, see, that makes it really tough. I mean, obviously, it's not something the 49ers or the 49er fans think is, a realistic option. It's an, or it's a possibility, right?
It could possibly happen. They haven't been eliminated from the playoffs yet.
We've all watched the 49ers play the last 3 weeks, right? I mean, I'm not alone here in this. It's one of those things where I think you just focus week to week. You focus game to game. You know, you think about, you got the bye. It's a good time for it. You're going to come back. You're going to get a lot of your key pieces back too. I mean, let's be honest. If Mostert's healthy for all these games, I think there's a lot of different outcomes. You know, they're running with their third, fourth string running back, sometimes fifth. I mean, yeah, it's been a rough season for the 49ers injury-wise and just overall. You know, no matter what's happened here for the 49ers, it seems like everything's coming up bad. You can't even beat Jameis Winston, you know, like, oh, man.
And Taysom Hill. Okay, hold on. I got some more thoughts on that Saints game really quick, and there's some questions I want to get to you about culture and locker room and stuff if the 49ers did decide to change things up. More of that coming up on this episode of Locked On 49ers. Echelon brings connected fitness at an affordable price, an arsenal of high-tech fitness products that anyone can afford. Bikes, rowers, the new Stride treadmill, so many affordable choices to get you fit this winter. I know a lot of us need it. I know I, for one, need it with what my habits have become over the last 9 months or so. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as hitting those fitness goals, the accomplishment, feeling great about yourself, and Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of home. World-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try Echelon Fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. So the Saints have tried to pretend that Taysom Hill was going to be their starting quarterback when Drew Brees is gone, but watching that game for me, and Taysom Hill has attempted so few passes in the league, then they bring in Jameis Winston as the true backup to Drew Brees. Like, Taysom Hill's not a quarterback, right? That's the vibe I got. It's like, okay, let's say Brees doesn't play again. He's going to be out for a while. Maybe with more time leading up during the week, or if you have a bye, maybe they can get Taysom Hill a little bit more ready to be full-time quarterback since he's been practicing doing other things all year long, or maybe a full offseason. But the vibe I got was Taysom Hill's a gadget guy no matter what, and the real other quarterback is Jameis Winston, period.
Yeah, I think you're totally right on that. I think if Brees doesn't play, I think maybe you get, you know, 5 more plays out of Taysom Hill under center.
Yeah,
maybe,
you use him a little more, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think Jameis Winston, they brought him in for a reason. You know, they like his athleticism. They like his arm. I don't know if they like his decision-making or not, but, I mean, it's hard to say that with a guy that's coming off 30 interceptions a year ago. But, yeah, he's a quarterback. And Taysom Hill has never really proven that he can, you know, handle the ball under center more than, you know, 4 or 5 snaps a game. So it'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. I mean, it doesn't sound like Brees is going to play for a while with a punctured lung and some bruised ribs. And,
yeah, man, I can't believe he played through that and still let a touchdown drive. That's pretty crazy. And I hate the penalty, but I also hate to see Brees get hurt on that play as well. And they're trying to protect the quarterbacks, and that's why. I mean, he's just such a massive man, kind of half falling on you. But, I mean, that was
a... But it's tackle football, so I don't want to get into that because I'm going to get all riled up.
Oh, you can't throw that flag. That's just so stupid. Yeah,
that was the worst. That's the worst flag I've seen all season.
What sucks is, depending on your angle, it might look worse. They have to be able to review something like that because that's such a huge play to go from a sack to they have a first down in 15 yards. I mean, that's massive in a football game. And you can't just give teams a freebie like that. And when you see the replay and see him literally on his side trying not to fall on the quarterback, what else is a guy supposed to do?
Roll off of him and everything.
Right. And I feel bad for Street. Like, he's been through a lot in the ACL and fighting through. And finally he's like, oh, I'm here in the NFL, my first NFL sack. And it's like, nope, here's a BS flag to take that away from you.
The look on his face is just priceless. Where he's just like, what? What?
Like, he can't believe that.
That was all of us, man.
Oh, my gosh. Taysom Hill, though, held the ball way too long, and it's such a stark contrast to go from Drew Brees, who gets it out faster than anybody in the league, to Winston and Taysom Hill, and that Javon Kinlaw sack. It was like, Taysom Hill, what are you doing? You're a running quarterback. Run. You're screwing around in the pocket right now. For what reason? If nobody's open, take off or dump the ball off. What are you doing? So that's the other reason why I think Taysom Hill's not a quarterback. And that thing is just kind of BS. And maybe that's just Sean Payton's way of thinking, yeah, he's a quarterback, trying to get other teams to buy into that when they're playing against him. But right. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. Okay.
Nah.
A couple of emails here, Nick. And
okay.
This one from Eric, and it's sort of a two-parter. The first one, he says, hey, Brian and Nick, hope all is good. Nick, are you going to get a new Xbox? If so, console S or console X?
Already done. Ooh. Console S. Yeah, yeah.
You're an S guy.
Got
okay.
the S going. I've been really mellow in my play, though. I got a little wrist injury, so I have to be very careful. Yeah, I couldn't shell out the huge cash for the X, man. That was just too much money.
Drew Brees is just shaking his head at you right now. Collapsed lung and broken them. Ribs, and your wrist hurts it. A little bit, and you can't play Xbox.
A little bit, man. It hurts a lot. Smacked it really good. It was the worst way to hurt it too. I was standing next to my bed, and I got this huge bed, you know, this like bed frame, whatever. And I'm just taking off my shirt, and I bring it down all fast, and just like hammered my wrist down on my bed frame.
Wow, you're on IR because you were taking off your shirt.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's what happens when you get old, man. You have the dumbest injuries.
I guess.
You just move to the left and you're like, oh, that's a back injury. Oh, I'm down.
Keep Kentavious Street away from Nick Winkler. I'll put it that way.
I'll throw the flag so fast.
His real question is, do you guys feel that Kyle is going to lose the locker room due to surprise trades and or releasing players? And I think he was more so talking about some of the trades like Quan Alexander that happened at the deadline. But on that same topic, Ian has a culture question with the 49ers. It says, hey, Wink and Peacock, if the Niners move on from Jimmy, do you think culture of the locker room will suffer? Would it be a solemn reminder that this is still a business despite the family they've built? Love the show. Love to the families. So thank you for those questions from Eric and Ian. What do you think? Would it be a shock to the culture of the team if they started to lose more players that were there for that Super Bowl run?
I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that that's already done. Like, I think that this team already knows, like, okay, that window has closed. That time has passed. Let's start a new one. You know, this team has gone through so many injuries this year, more than any other team in the NFL. I feel like at this point, it's like, just bring in anybody that can play, anybody that can help us out. And I just don't think so. I know that most of these guys know that this is a business, and I can't imagine that anyone on this football team doesn't buy into Shanahan. Like, I don't think that they would look at him and be like, oh no, this isn't the guy to lead this football team. I think that he's earned that trust. He's earned that ability to go out and get guys. I mean, yeah, they trading away some guys, but you kind of have to. Like, you got to retool, you got to restock, you got to get things ready for next season, and you got to clear up the cap space. And these guys understand that it's a business. I don't think so. I think that, you know, I think maybe if they traded away George Kittle, I think that there's right. a couple guys maybe that could really throw up that red flag. But I mean, Quan Alexander, he was a leader in that football locker room. But at the same time, was he a leader on the field? I don't know. He just wasn't on the field enough.
Right. He wasn't on the field all that much. And it was clear that some people were surprised by that trade.
Sure.
So he did have some clout in that locker room. And I'm sure it would shock some people and shake some people up if there was some other moves that have been talked about in the offseason, namely Jimmy Garoppolo. But if you can trade DeForest Buckner, I think everybody in the building already knows it's a business and that their job could be moved to another team or their contract could be terminated at any point. So I think everyone does know, and if they don't know, they should learn real quick that it is still a business above all.
Yeah, and fans especially. Like, that to me is the biggest thing, where it's like all of a sudden they're doubting Shanahan and this and that. And it's like, come on, guys, relax. Like, remember what happened last year. Remember what we were 4 years ago. You know, remember where we've come from. Remember what this guy has done for our organization and what he's done for this fan base and everything, and how he's really just revitalized the 49ers organization. And yeah, he's been through a lot. And yeah, the play calling didn't look great on Sunday, but who does he got under center? Like, you got to trust that he knows what he can get out of his guys. He knows what packages these guys can run. And if he's not doing a certain thing, it's because those guys can't get it done. I truly believe that.
Right. And it's, you can nitpick, and I do that all the time too. And sure. That's fine. And that's, you know, that's what people do as a fan. And you can say, oh, maybe do this, or I would like this better. But you really don't want to go back to Blaine Gabbert and Jeremy Curley and Sean Drone as your triplets, right? With the 49ers.
And Chip Kelly leading the offense. Like, come on.
You're running the same play 37 times in a game.
Right.
Yeah. You definitely don't want that. So remember where you came from when it comes to, the football world. And the 49ers, I think, are going to be in a good place, whether they try to just bring everybody back and do it again next year, or they make some hard decisions and change some things up. I think they're going to be okay either way. Adam has a good point on Twitter about Jimmy G. He says, while I agree that Jimmy G has had some issues since the end of last season, I can't get behind blowing up our team as it stands now to replace him with an unknown commodity, like, say, drafting a quarterback. He says you would draft a quarterback to compete, not to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. And I have a feeling that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are competitive in a way that, unless they can actually upgrade immediately with a veteran quarterback from Jimmy Garoppolo, I got to feel like they would say they would feel the same way as Adam here.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, you know, look back at the quarterbacks we've had leading up to Jimmy Garoppolo. It hasn't been good.
Right.
You know, it's been one bad guy after another.
Garoppolo, when he gets hurt, it's like, oh, yeah. Wow, you have to bring in another quarterback because this guy can't throw a pass that you need to complete. It's like it's almost embarrassing to a point with some of, you know, the quarterbacks that 49ers fans have seen over the course of the last 40 whatever years. So to Adam's point here, I think that's what Kyle Shanahan said, and that's why I believe that quote he said at the beginning at the conference call on Tuesday is that unless he sees a clear better option that they can get this offseason right away, I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be back. And if they draft somebody, it's to compete and push Garoppolo and be there when he's gone, not to just come in and give it all to a rookie. I just really can't see the 49ers doing that. But even though it might be the best move in a lot of ways,
right.
And I think we might come to that decision, you and I on this podcast, all offseason long, I might say, look, trade Jimmy if you can get a third from New England and go draft blank in the middle of the first round or in the top 10 or wherever the 49ers end up drafting. That might be the best long-term outlook, in my opinion. I don't know if that'll be Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's opinion, though.
Yeah, and you hear a lot of talk about, well, maybe they can restructure something. But it's like, but then you're back under the, you don't have that ability to just cut him loose and get rid of him and not have that penalty against the cap in the future. So, yeah, it would make sense to try and restructure something next year. But then are you hurting yourself 2 years from now? You know, because we talked about his health, too. I mean, there's the ability to get on the field. Right now, Jimmy doesn't have it. You know, he gets out there and then he gets hurt. He gets re-injured. And we've seen him on the sideline a lot since he became a 49er. And don't get me wrong, I'm a Jimmy G guy. Like, I like Jimmy G.
You got the jersey, right?
Quarterback. Yeah, exactly. I got the – give me a jersey. Give me a mask with a 10 on it. I'm good. I'm happy. You know, quarterback McHandsome. I'm on board. But to me, it's like he's due $24 million. Or that would be the cap hit. Like, that would be the savings if they got rid of him. And if the cap goes down, like – that is an area that they will need to address.
Yeah.
That is too much money to pay for a guy who can't stay on the football field.
That is a good point. That is something else I want to talk a little bit more about. Winky Wednesday, Nick Winkler, Brian Peacock, Locked On 49ers, the finale coming up. If you haven't tried Built Bars yet, I don't even know what you're doing. What are you waiting for? Go to builtbar.com and a special offer, promo code Locked On, you can get yourself 20% off a box of Built Bars. 12 original flavors plus 6 new flavors. You can mix and match a box if you want. If you don't want one full box of flavors, or if you're like me, you just go get a full box of peanut butter, then maybe do a mix and match on another box. That's the way to go about it, in my opinion. My favorite is that peanut butter covered in 100% real delicious chocolate. Built Bars are great for the health conscious folks out there. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. These bars are low calorie, low in sugar, but high in protein, high in fiber, and even great for a keto diet. That peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories and 5 grams of sugar. Cookies and cream, 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. You mentioned the salary cap, and that's the big thing here. There's two things. So Kyle Shanahan talking about the 49ers win a lot of games with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? And that is true.
They do.
And that is the case. So there's push and pull factors when you're making decisions, right? Is the pull factor of the quarterback that they see in the draft enough to say we're going to go away from Jimmy G because we have this thing pulling us in another direction where we think this is the best thing long-term for us? Is that enough for the 49ers to move away from him? Or are there push factors like Jimmy Garoppolo not playing great when he has been on the field this year? Or to me, the big one is the salary cap. the $24 million you would save by moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo and potentially getting a draft pick in return from a team that was willing to pay Jimmy Garoppolo that money, like, say, the New England Patriots. And I don't know if there's a lot of other teams that would be jumping at the chance to get Jimmy Garoppolo, and I don't know if the Patriots would be either in the coming offseason. But that's sort of, you know, one of the other factors that would push you away from Jimmy Garoppolo is his play. But the other one is his injuries. And to me, and sort of back to the other point about it being a business, and in the end, the scoreboard is what matters, right? And the 49ers lost a lot of games because Jimmy Garoppolo didn't play. Can you count on Jimmy Garoppolo to A, be good, and play, and be healthy,
right?
Because he spent so much time of his career injured. He got hurt in his few starts with the Patriots, too. Don't forget that, before he came over to the 49ers,
right?
And now he's missed half the games he's played in San Francisco. So is there enough to bank on Jimmy Garoppolo with the other factors that could be out there for you? And when you weigh those, I think that's where the decision comes from. It's not just as simple as, oh, we hate Jimmy, see ya, you know, or we win a lot of games with Jimmy, so we have to keep him. You have to factor in everything. And I think the cap and the injuries are just as big a factor as anything else with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. We like Jimmy. He does win a lot of football games, but you said it, he can't stay on the football field. And you can't play. You're not going to get $24 million. I mean, you can't afford that. If the cap goes down $20 million next year, which is what's being reported or what's being anticipated, I mean, that seems like the most logical area to try and, you know, get under the cap, because they're going to need to sign rookies. They're going to need to sign some free agents. There's a couple guys that need re-signing as well. They're basically, their whole backfield is going to be free agents after this year. So there's a lot that's going to happen in the offseason. And is Garoppolo the future? I mean, Shanahan's saying all the right stuff, right? But again, you could read into that as, yeah, there's just one more game the next year where he could be our quarterback. And then who knows? A lot of it probably has to do with where the 49ers end up this season as well. Will they have a high draft pick? Will they be able to get one of the top two or three quarterbacks in this draft? I mean, because that's, if not, what are you doing? You know, you're going to go out, you're going to sign another guy late, you know, another third round quarterback that you trade up for that no one else wants. You know, and is he going to be the future? Like, I don't know. That's the thing, too. Are they going to draft the right guy? There's been some big hits in the 49er draft room, but there's been some big misses as well. So,
and we've seen a lot of teams try to go that route with quarterbacks many times.
Yeah, not just the 49ers. You're exactly right.
The Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. Like, those guys would have killed to have Jimmy Garoppolo over the last five seasons, right?
Right, right. The Jets, the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals hit it with Murray, but they missed it the year before. You know, it's a tough game. It's a crapshoot, that draft. It's hard to say that, oh, we could just solve it by drafting a quarterback. Like, I don't think that's the answer. I don't know. It's tough. Tough call, man.
Thad says, he's got a lot of hashtags here. Let's go through it. He says, at BD Peacock, at Bay Area Wink, hashtag mailbag, hashtag Winky Wednesday, hashtag Little Leo. He's got it covered. Thank you very much.
That's it. Yeah.
It is clear that you listen to the program. My son is currently napping and I have to go get him up after this podcast. So a free agent to be quarterback name I am intrigued by, Thad says, is Robert Griffin III. If he can still spin it, why not? He will be cheap, especially if he's brought in and competing for the starting job against a rookie. And then he says hashtag Trey Lance. And so that's the small school South Dakota State, whatever school that Carson Wentz went to, the powerhouse D2 school there. Trey Lance is a big-time quarterback prospect, might be a first-round pick in this year's draft, an athletic quarterback. What do you think? RG3 to be sort of the backup veteran player, sort of like he has been in Baltimore, to a young rookie, super athletic quarterback. Could we see an offensive shift for Kyle Shanahan in that direction to look a little bit more like what they've got going on in Baltimore? More athleticism and have a little fun with the quarterback carrying the ball.
I mean, even what you're seeing, you know, it happened in Arizona and it happened in you know, Los Angeles with the Chargers. And then what you've seen in Cincinnati, like, you're seeing these young guys come in and play well, you know, right out of the gate. And yeah, it's year two for Kyler Murray. Year one wasn't horrible, you know, but then you look around, you see other guys too, where it's like, oh, it just doesn't work. So it's really hard for me to sit here and say, like, yeah, that's the answer, because obviously I don't know. Is paying Jimmy Garoppolo $24 million next year the answer? Oh, God, it's so difficult to say that. Robert Griffin III, he was a really good quarterback when he was very mobile. I don't think that spinning it was ever his big thing, though.
I mean, right? He always had a strong arm, but
sure.
Shanahan's been through this. And Shanahan already told us what he thinks about this. He wanted Kirk Cousins over Robert Griffin, and that's who ended up being his guy there. And he used Griffin because he had to, because he was the coordinator, and that's who was drafted for him. He wasn't the decision maker. and he made the best of it. And, you know, he made that look pretty good with Robert Griffin. So Shanahan could dial up that sort of offense if he wanted to, but his history tells us he does not want to. And his history of who he's already brought in the last few years with the 49ers tells us he doesn't want to go that route. Has there been enough of a shift in the NFL? And there has been quite a shift, even in the last 3-4 years since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over the 49ers. Has there been enough of a shift and enough for, and for how difficult it's been for the 49ers to play against those athletic quarterbacks that can run? Has that shifted his mindset to say, you know, maybe we could go a little bit more in this direction? But I have a feeling, and I have a hard time believing that Kyle Shanahan would want a starting quarterback that doesn't have his best baseline of being a pocket passer first, and then bonus points if you can do the other stuff with the athleticism. That's the way I think Kyle Shanahan will look at his next quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I know that accuracy is a big thing, you know, and timing and everything like that. And I don't think those were ever kind of Robert Griffin III's best qualities.
Right.
We'll put it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. He doesn't want Picasso back there. You know, he doesn't want somebody turning a three-step drop. The ball's supposed to be out in 2.5 seconds into a 6-second play where he's running around. I mean, I think it's fun. And I think a lot of teams are cool with a quarterback that can make his own plays and improvise. I mean, Kyle Shanahan doesn't really like that kind of a quarterback. That's not what his offense is all about.
Right. Yeah, you're totally right. What if Dak Prescott becomes a free agent? I know he's going to need a lot of money, but the 49ers have shown that they're not afraid to give a big contract.
Yeah, that's to a quarterback. So there's a lot of interesting, we have to wait and see how the draft order ends up, but sure. There's so many teams and what names are going to be available. Like for the Cowboys, is it going to be, okay, let's trade with the Cowboys for their draft pick and draft a quarterback, or let's let the Cowboys draft a quarterback and then let's go get Dak Prescott. And you say the same thing with the Jets. Are the Jets going to draft a quarterback, or can we talk trade with them, or do we need to talk trade with them about Sam Darnold? Are the Miami Dolphins going to end up with a really high draft pick from the Houston Texans? It looks like that's going to be the case. Are we calling the Dolphins about trading up for their pick for drafting a quarterback, or are we calling the Dolphins about Tua Tagovailoa, right? So who's available? Daniel Jones with the Giants. Is it a draft pick, or are there going to be a lot more quarterbacks, potentially, you know, a handful extras that we don't expect to be available that could be trade targets for the 49ers this offseason if they don't want to go the rookie quarterback route? And it might be a little cheaper in a lot of cases for those quarterbacks. But they've already, obviously, their team wants to move on with them. You know, if you're getting Josh Rosen for a second rounder, doesn't really help you very much, it turns out. So, I mean, there's just so many questions, and the carousel at quarterback could be extremely interesting if the Giants or the 49ers feel like they need to go in that direction.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll have to see how the draft order shakes out. We're just gonna have to see how the 49ers finish too. And does Jimmy come back, and does he play well, and does he show like, yeah, look, I do have a good grasp on this offense, and this is my team, and I am going to be the starting quarterback 2021. A lot of questions still to be answered, and I hope the games aren't like they just were, because that was hard to watch.
Do you bring Jimmy back? Let's say he's ready to go 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks, week 16-17. You could play spoiler. I think it's the Cardinals and Seahawks those last 2 weeks, right? If I'm not mistaken. And you have a chance to play spoiler if you are the 49ers.
It's just spoiler,
in those games.
Like there's no chance of getting that third
wild card. Yeah, so no chance. You have a pretty high draft pick already. It could be extremely high for those if you lose those last two games. Do you bring back Jimmy Garoppolo? And by the way, that Cardinals and 49ers game is a flex game. I don't think that's going to get flexed into prime time. Who knows? We'll see. Maybe on December 27th, a couple days after Christmas there. But do you bring Jimmy Garoppolo back if he's not 100% still to play those two games, or you say, gosh, this season's out of hand? Obviously, we're eliminated from the playoffs at this point. Let's not bring Jimmy Garoppolo back. Or do you still bring him back even if he's like 90% on that ankle?
I think you do. I think you bring it back, right? If he's healthy and he's ready to go, I think you bring him back. I think you got it. Like you said, you don't want to lose the locker room. You know, these guys are fighting for their jobs. These guys don't want to lose games. They might not be on the team next year. They don't care what your draft pick looks like next season. They want to win football games. If your quarterback's ready to go, he's healthy, you bring him back.
Real quick, last one here since we're on a bye. You know what? No, I won't do this. We have another show before the next game for the 49ers, because next week is officially the bye. I guess, I don't know. It's all a bye for me right now. But the 49ers don't play until November 29th against the Los Angeles Rams. So we have one more show before then. I'm going to tease it for that show. I'm going to have you project the rest of the season for the 49ers.
I like it. I like it a lot.
We'll do that, and we'll see how we'll change our predictions from what we thought at the beginning of the year and see what you think the 4-6 Niners will end up like this season. We'll go through some of those games and, of course, preview that Week 12 Rams game next week right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.